When you hear that bell, you know it's time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10, and we'll continue our study of the time when Jesus sent out missionaries, particularly when he sent out the 70 missionaries two by two and told them to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 10 in verse 5, where Jesus said, "Into whatsoever house ye shall enter, say first, peace be to this house." Well, we'll get there in just a moment. While you're turning to Luke chapter 10, I remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And Rock Cliff is located just across Mount Zion Road at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain on the highway between McMinnville and Biola, just over on the right. You cannot miss our red brick building if you're looking for it. And we've got the sign, the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, out in the front there at the parking lot where it meets the highway. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And as far as Rock Cliff is concerned, you're always welcome to come to all of our assemblies. Now let's turn to our study in Luke chapter 10 and verse 5. "Peace shall rest upon him. Into whatever house you shall enter, first say, peace be to this house." Here are the notes that E.A. Elam wrote for a Sunday school lesson on that verse of December 3rd, 1922. "Peace be to this house" was the usual form of blessing when entering a house as a guest. It is said that peace with the Jews comprehended all other blessings. So when it came from the servants of God, it meant God's protection and blessings upon that house. It is a blessing now to really entertain good men, God's servants, and have them pray for our families and for us. Verse 6 of Luke 10 says, "And if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him, but if not, it shall turn to you again." The enjoyment of the blessings depends also upon the inmates of the house. "If a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him, but if not, it shall turn to you again." That is, if they will receive the servants of God and extend to them kindness and hospitality, because they are God's servants, the blessings of God will abide upon them. If not, God will withhold the blessing and reward them according to their sins. To the 12, Jesus says, "Search out who is worthy, and there abide till you go forth. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it." Matthew 10, verses 11 through 13. And then in Luke chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, "In that same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, if they receive you, eat such things as are set before you." Stay in the same house, which is worthy, and would receive them that were to remain. To any evangelist now, the reason for this seems clear, for this is in many ways the best for his work. The considerate Shunammite woman built for Elisha a small room and placed a bed and a table and a stool on a candlestick. And it pleased Elisha to stop and to rest there and to bless the woman. The preacher needs a quiet place to study, to pray, and sometimes to rest. It is not best to board around from house to house. Especially was this best for the 70. For it is said that when a stranger came into a community, the neighbors, according to the rules of etiquette, must invite him, one after another, to eat with them, and that they were quite strict in the observance of this rule, which involved much show and display. I would like to read to you that account in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37, of the hospitality of that Shunammite woman. We read in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, that it fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passeth by us continually. Let us make, I pray thee, a little chamber on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a seat, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 12. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no son, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, At this season, when the time cometh round, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 17. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, when the time came around, as Elijah had said to her. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to his servant, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, she set him on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send, I pray thee, one of the servants, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass, and said to her servant, Drive, and go forward, slacken me not the riding, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run, I pray thee now, to meet her, and say to her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to thrust her away. But the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and Jehovah hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take thy staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As Jehovah liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and lay the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore she returned to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awakened. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and lay upon his bed. And he went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto Jehovah. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon him, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes, And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. She went in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. And so there's the story of a great woman that took care of a prophet of God and was blessed in so doing. But now let's return to our text in Luke chapter 10. There is some obstination now, perhaps, in the manner of asking the preacher around to dinner and to tea. And sometimes it is quite formal. To avoid all this, the 70 and the 12 were to remain in one home. They were to eat and drink such things as were placed before them, and not complain or find fault with their fare. They were to adapt themselves to the circumstances. It is wrong for the preacher now to complain and find fault with the entertainment offered him and to be so hard to please. The laborer is worthy of his hire, Jesus said. This is the reason given for remaining in the same house and not going from house to house. They carried peace, the rich blessings of God, to that house, which would far more than compensate its inmates for the hospitality extended. As Paul said to the Corinthians, if we sold unto you spiritual things, is it a great manner if we reap your carnal things? 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. Again, even so did the Lord ordain that they that proclaim the gospel should live of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. The laborer, not the one who does not labor, is worthy of his hire, that is, a living. But he must labor. God provides it for this, for them, and provides it for him who preaches the gospel today. But he does it through the hospitality and generosity of worthy people, and not in a mysterious, miraculous way. So they could go free from all anxiety and give themselves wholly to the work, assured of support. Sometimes Jesus and his disciples carry money with them. Others contribute to their support, and sometimes it seems they carry their own bread. On another occasion, and under different circumstances, Jesus gave different instructions. When I send you forth without purse and wallet and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. And he said unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath none, let it sell his cloak, and buy a sword. This is not contrary to Christ's general instructions to the 70, previously to the 12, and through the epistles, that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and that they that proclaim the gospel should live of the gospel. It seems that Jesus shows the trying times to which they would come upon them, and their enemies would assail them on every side. They went at once as sheep among wolves, but now still more trying times were upon them. They must preach the gospel to every creature, into all the world, but would have to depend on their own efforts, and sometimes, as in Paul's case, for support. Hence they would need their purse and their wallet. In no wise does Jesus teach here that one may make a bargain for a support before he'll preach the gospel, but rather the reverse. We read in Luke chapter 10 and verse 9, that they were to heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In healing the sick, they showed the presence of God was with them, and also their kindness to the afflicted. A manifestation of kindness and helpfulness opened the hearts of the people to the truth, and it does now. Like the 12, they had been blessed, and should go to bless others. And so should we. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, they were to preach. The expression has come nigh and is at hand means the same. The preparatory work of the kingdom was still in progress, and the kingdom was not yet inaugurated. After the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, no one ever preached the kingdom of heaven was at hand, because it had arrived. We're going to conclude our study now and pick it up again in our next class time in Luke chapter 10.